Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go.
Throwbacks, a sports life podcast brought to you by Defiant International, Bannister Miller Law Firm, the 60 Feet 6 Foundation, and Felton Skills Academy.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to episode 4 of the Throwbacks. We're ready to go. We usually obviously start everything with a good, you know, quote, I guess, if you will, something motivational for these athletes and everyone out there. And the quote that we have today is, never say never, because limits like fears are often just illusions. Michael Jordan.
Go.
Let's go. What moment in your career when you felt like you hit a limit, did you realize it was illusion and you could and did overcome it?
I mean, I just want to start because I could easily put this right to him. We got to where we wanted to be. The illusion was to get to the show, to get to the NBA.
Good point.
So to me, I look at it as nobody picked me. Everybody was doubting me. Nobody believed that I could actually do this. And so, you know, I put my own mind to it. The only thing that really slowed me down was, and I preach this all the time to the kids, is my grades. I screwed up bad in high school. Like, I think I was about to, I'm probably making this up, but it's pretty damn close. I was about to graduate with like a 2.5, like just enough to be able to go play at the next level. But the thing is, I literally turned my whole life around, you know, found God, found myself into the school of being by myself. Like, there's no more mom and dad. This is you. So if you want it, you got to go get it. And that to me is where the illusion part was. All these people doubted me. All this, I think we talked about it on one of the earlier episodes. My dad had a sign that had down the weight room, Army says you can't. I used that motivation to get to where I want to be, or where I wanted to be. And then next thing I know, I'm being drafted. Next thing I know, I'm in the minor leagues. Next thing I know, I'm at the show. I'm out there making my debut. And then 14 seasons later, here we are. So to say him, like, for you, for sure, like, you conquered that. Like, we conquered what we thought everybody was telling us we couldn't do.
Sure.
What can I say behind that? But, you know, I mean, to pick you off what he just said, I mean, I've dealt with people telling me I couldn't do something my whole entire life, ever since I was a kid, being from a small town. You're not going to make it. You're just a big fish in a small pond. But when we go into a bigger pond, you're going to be a small fish. Well, I was a big fish in a big pond, too. So, you know, just I thank those people who did that. You know what I'm saying? So, That illusion part was motivation.
Yeah.
You know, for real, to just really, you know, show people that no matter where you come from, and that's why I tell kids today, no matter where you're at, you could be from a small town, you could be from a big city. Doesn't matter. If you're good, they're going to find you.
Yeah.
I do want to add to it because I think this is cool. Don Cockstein, I know you know who that is. Uh-huh. He's my psychiatrist, still works with me to this day. One of the things that he would always get upset about is saying, I can't.
Right.
And I realized there was something else to it. It took me a little bit, but then I figured it out. You shouldn't say, I can't. I just haven't done it yet.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's how it should be. And I know we love to give the motivation. And that's how it should be is, don't say, I can't. I just haven't done it yet. That's how it should be.
That makes sense. And I love the hat, by the way.
Yes.
White hat. And we want to give a shout out to
Jason Hatcher. And I wanted to read this real quick. This is for him. He's one of my boys. Great dude. It's about his son who passed away. And it says, introducing our stylish hats featuring a sleek white hat print. These hats are inspired by our late son and brother, JJ Hatcher, who had passed away December 18th, 2022. It was a devastating time for sure. But what stood out the most was his funeral. How many people from all walks of life came to see him? That's not the kicker, though. It was the phone calls, emails, Facebook, Instagram messages from kids on how he helped them through hard times, saved their lives from committing suicide, or just made them better in general. Adults on how good of a young man he was when they experienced him. We as a family was completely blown away on how many people he touched in such a short period of time. Felt like an angel in a sense. So when I think about the definition of wearing the white hat, it's a mark or symbol of the goodness that describes JJ. With our white hat collection, it will be a constant reminder to commit to integrity, ethics, honesty, and doing the right thing, doing things the right way. These hats aren't just an accessory. They're a culture statement. Welcome to the white hat culture. Get your white hat today and wear your values proudly. Let's
there
go.
There you go. That was awesome. Well, shout out to White Hat and Mr. Hatcher, and, you know, obviously prayers to him and his family, obviously.
I just had to get that out for me. He's good people. You always want to help as much as you can, so.
No question.
Of course.
Got to get that out.
No. Of course. All right, so let's go ahead and get into our second segment here. As usual, we're switching it up a little bit. Usually we like to talk about our Twitter posts at the end, but we're going to cover some things that have recently been going on, and let's go ahead and hit us with the first one, please. So Tyrese Halliburton said on sports betting taking over social media, not everybody cares to hear about how we feel. To half the world, I'm just helping them make money on DraftKings or whatever. I am a prop. Have y'all ever felt like a prop to sports bettors and fantasy players?
Yeah. Because the thing is, we hear it as athletes all the time. You go out and have a bad game. Hey, you costed me this on my fantasy team or my DraftKings, all that. The last thing I'm really worried about is Jim Boogerloo's fantasy football team, baseball team, whatever it is. Like, I don't care. So to sit here and tell me, like, I cost you something, well, that's your fault. You know, you took that risk. That's how it is.
That's why that's why it's called gambling.
Correct.
You took a chance. So who cares about your feelings or about your situation? You know, you took a gamble on me. I didn't come through. Try it again next time or don't try it at all.
You guys almost have to be numb to that, though, right? Because, I mean, if you even paid attention to it, it'd be too much.
I don't pay attention to social media, what people say. People are going to say what they want. People are going to talk a lot. They're going to talk bad about you. They're going to talk good about you. I mean, it goes either way, so I just don't pay attention to it either way, whether it's good or bad.
No doubt. No doubt. How do you think sports betting has affected the industry, though? Now that DraftKings and FanDuel and all these other ones are around.
I've always been a person who speculated with different things and calls and how things go within a game when, you know, certain things are done. And you're like, man, what was that for? You know, like Patrick Mahomes early this year had a touchdown and he literally slides down at the 1 yard line. You know how many people was mad about that?
Oh, I'm sure.
That would have covered the spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't cover the spread. All he had to do was go in. He had a touchdown. But he fell down at 1 yard line. Why did he do that? Could have got a touchdown. Nobody would have thought it was like something bad that you did.
Yeah, it's not disrespectful.
But literally, I think it was more disrespectful that he fell down at the 1 yard line rather than running in at the touchdown. Not for the betting side of it, because I didn't care less. But just think about that, though. Why did he do that? Why wouldn't you go in for that touchdown? I'm just saying. Like,
the thing is, yeah.
It makes you think. Like,
you score the touchdown, you're still up by two touchdowns, basically.
Basically.
So it's really like,
did you do that?
Why did he do that, actually?
I don't know. And that's what makes you think. When you see DraftKings,
you know him, right?
FanDuel. I'm just saying, though, you see
I'm not
going
to reach out to him.
FanDuel, you see all these different betting things as partners now with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is this becoming something bigger? Is it becoming something more than basketball, than football, than baseball? Is it becoming more now? Because now you're getting all these sponsors, and it's like, hey, I need this to happen tonight. I don't need this team to win by this amount. So you're going to do that. And these are billion-dollar industries. FanDuel, DraftKings, I'm just saying.
Like, scripted?
Get
your sheet.
North America fantasy sports market is valued at $13.21 billion.
That should say something.
That explains it.
That says something.
I'm I'm not the one to just throw something out there and say, oh, this is what it is. I mean, it's just speculations, obviously, but I mean, it makes you think, because when I was playing, when I first got in the league, it was forbidden. You bet not bet.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, now you can bet live. Yeah, now you can bet live while the game is going on. You still can as an athlete.
Yeah.
But I mean, who would know?
Yeah.
What I'm saying, who would know? You can have your boy doing it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, we have the same, we have a rule sheet. As soon as you walk into MLB, you cannot bet, you can't do all that stuff. The only thing that I was curious about, because they're putting it in stadiums now, like it's starting to get out there. Did you guys have like a conversation with the refs? Like, hey, today this dude, he's always going to call things. Like for us, it's umpires. Okay, this dude's got a big zone. This dude's got a little zone, whatever. Mm-hmm. You guys have that same situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if that also plays into the factor too with the betting side of it. Because they say, hey, I'm going to use this as an example. I know he's a okay umpire. Angel Hernandez. I'm just, you know, I got to be respectful.
Yeah.
I'm not officially retired, so if I get back, I don't want to lose that.
Right.
But like him, he has a big zone, and he's known to make some really bad calls. Mm-hmm. Does that go into the betting side of it too? Do they look at that stuff and like, all right, here's how we can add this into it, if that makes sense? Like,
I mean, as a person who's betting, and you know that he's the umpire for the night, of course, you're gonna be looking at that in a way, you know, if you're a true gambler.
Yeah.
You know,
but but in basketball, there was the infamous 2006, Donahue, or what was the guy's name again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he like wrote a book about it, right?
Yeah.
And many people, especially here in Dallas, literally blame him for why we lost the finals.
Okay.
He's just saying, okay, so I'm not.
He's there. Like, all right, I'm just going to leave it at
that.
Well,
you know, it's certain things you don't dig into. You know, you just.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, certain things you can't say. You know, being a part of, you know, such a big fraternity, just like what he just said just now.
Sure.
You know, certain things you just don't elaborate to a certain level, but, you know, we here. We look at eye to eye.
There you go. Let's go. All right, let's get us with another one. All right, so what do you guys think? Or who do you think has had the best offseason so far in the NFL? I want you guys to pick one team that you think has had the best offseason. Now, we have some stats here that are in front of you that you can use if you want to use to decide, or if you think you already know. And I believe you already know.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, by far, you know, and is so far has only been just one guy, and that one guy is enough. Derrick Henry is enough by himself. You put him and Lamar Jackson in that backfield together. Hey, listen, I'll play against any team right now today.
Well, I would like to say, I would love to say, and he is not biased to the Baltimore by any means. I would love to say the Cowboys obviously had the worst offseason. Oh, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm even looking at this list right now. You know, Washington got, I hate the, what is, they're not the football team anymore. What are they?
And Commanders.
The Commanders. Yeah, there you go. I was about to say the Redskins, and that's a no-no, apparently.
trying to get the name back.
They are, and they're working on it. So I would actually say Washington, actually, because, I mean, look, they got Dorrance Armstrong, Bobby Wagner, Austin. And Austin Eckler was an amazing player for the Chargers. He was an amazing player for the Chargers. You know, obviously picked up a bunch of Dallas Cowboys. I'd probably say Washington, but, you know, I could agree with Baltimore only because that could actually open up a lot for Lamar. A lot for him. But, you know, we'd like to hear what the Browns fan has to say.
I mean, I don't want to be biased by any means and pick the Browns. I love what they've done. I think they made the division that much better.
I text you about it, by the way, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were talking about it. And, I mean, I do love the one signing for the Ravens. That's great. You're still, like I said, making the division that much better. One guy is not going to do it. That's plain and simple. I get it. He is one of the best running backs, but he's older. He's weathered. It's a little bit different. We'll see how that works with the Browns defense, adding some key pieces. But I have to say, though, Washington is definitely the pick. They're going from a absolute garbage team to a much better team. I mean, it's true, though. Yeah, I'm not, you know, we're not lying. It's you can't tell me that was a good team last year. The only other team that I think that would give them a threat or a run for their money, and I know we were only supposed to pick one, but Houston. Houston was a really good team last year, adding the running back and defensive linemen. They've got some other options, too, that they picked up, too.
Okay, hold on. Let's make it fair, then.
Right.
What are your top three? So you got Baltimore. Give me two more.
Pittsburgh. And honestly, man, I hate to go to another person that has just won. You know, obviously, we could talk about Washington, but I still got to see what they're going to do this year. But Kansas City. They added a powerhouse receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, we know if Patrick Mahomes got receivers, they're dangerous. I don't care what they're doing during the regular season. If he got receivers, he's dangerous. So, you know, you add Hollywood Brown. Well, I think that's what they call him, his nickname. Hey, listen.
Hollywood.
Hey.
From Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's going to be a problem.
I'm going to surprise you then. I got Washington, the Jets, and then I'm going to go with Houston, like I said.
Okay.
The Jets made a couple big pickups to help out with that offense. I mean, was Aaron Rodgers a free agent, or is he still there?
He's still there.
Okay, so that was the only thing I was curious about. Yeah. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I like those. I think those three teams make a bigger impact this year. Are they going to win everything? No. But they're going to make some noise.
What are they going to do with Russell and Justin, though?
See, that one, that's why I was shocked that you picked Pittsburgh, because I'm sorry. Like, Russell is not. He's not Russell. Well, that's done.
That's why they got Fields.
There you go.
Which is good.
They got a young boy just in case who's been battle tested. Granted, he hasn't had the greatest, but you know what I mean? You got to think about where he was at too, what he had.
Tomlin's unbelievable, so I'm going to give him credit. You got a great coach. There's no doubt. Yeah. I just don't think those two are going to do it.
Let's see.
That's why. Especially, you know what? It's like I said before, it's just making our division that much better.
And it seems like we're only talking about that division. I actually, if we're going to go with the sentiment or the mentality that by just adding Derrick Henry, Baltimore, that made the team better, then we have to actually kind of say that about Philadelphia too, because they got Saquon, and Saquon's actually an amazing player, right? So you know, I could probably say Washington, Baltimore, and as much as I'm actually saying two NFC East teams, and I should kill myself for this, but... Yeah, I would say.
Who would you take over real quick, Henry or Saquon, if you have the choice? Both healthy, both great.
Who would I take?
Yeah.
Well, I would pick Derrick Henry for right now, just because, number one, he has a 2,000-yard season, all right? And he's stayed at least relatively healthier.
Yeah, about Saquon. Which call is kind of injury-prone, so.
That's the tough part, but
he's younger.
I'm looking
definitely younger.
Saquon's younger.
Yeah, Saquon's younger.
That's the one. That's why I would probably go that direction. But I like Derrick Henry a lot. Like, I'm very jealous of the Ravens. I'm not doubting that at all. Trust me, my buddy blew me up as soon as they got. He's a huge Ravens fan. Played college ball.
Good man.
Oh, so you got two people to deal with now.
Good man.
Oh yeah. So that's fine.
All right. Credit to NFL Rumors on that one. Go ahead and give us the next one. All right, so the players have spoken. They say who basically will win the World Series, and the choices are the Dodgers, the Braves, the Orioles, the Phillies, and the Yankees.
Dang.
Who do y'all think will be the team?
They can't even put the defending champs in the top five?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even in the top five.
I'm just saying, they're not even in the top five.
But you got to look at the offseason moves. They didn't make any moves that they should have.
Why make any moves? You just won.
Yeah, but you let one of the big pieces that helped you out a lot walk away.
Who did they walk?
Montgomery. He's still out there.
All right. Okay, so first, before we go there, give me your team who you think will win the World Series this year.
Well, it was number two and number three, which was the Braves and the Orioles. That's going to be in the World Series. I'm telling you, the Orioles are sneaky.
No.
They are literally the version that I played for in 2010. The Texas Rangers 2010, that's who they are. They're going to get there. They made some noise last year. They put themselves back on the map. Mm-hmm. They're a step ahead of where we would have been, so I see them going there. But the Braves are too powerful.
Dodgers are powerful now, too.
I mean,
they got hitters.
They got hitters.
Pitchers.
Kind
pitchers
of.
May not
see
be
what happened.
Hey. Pitchers may not be that great.
I'm just to let you know.
I get it.
They spent a lot of money, and that dude only went one inning.
And listen, they got knocked on. They got knocked on.
He was three.
No, he only went one inning.
Okay, wow.
And they got knocked on.
He got lit up though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got knocked on their head last year. So I don't see them. Don't see that happening to them this year. And the Braves did too. So that Braves is going to be my second pick.
I mean, it's going to be a battle. Those two, the Dodgers and the Braves.
Yeah. Agreed.
For sure.
Agreed.
But which guy got some new hitters too, though?
So who's your team?
Juan Soto went to
New York
to the Yankees.
So what, you thinking Yankees?
Which guy ain't healthy? Aaron Rodgers? No, not saying Aaron Rodgers.
Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole.
No, Aaron Judge is hurt. He's hurt right now.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's
Aaron Judge is hurt. He's hurt.
Bleak or something. I thought he got hurt. Yeah, spring training.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know,
he might be starting late.
Depending on health, I think the Yankees looks good, depending on health. But if I had a pick today,
yeah,
I'm going with the Dodgers and the Braves.
Doyers.
Dodgers. Those are your two picks to win it? So, no, you don't pick an American League team?
I mean, he said.
Well, you're going with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So, Yankees, Dodgers, Braves.
That would be my three. Yeah.
And yours?
Mm-hmm. Am I going three or two?
Go three.
Okay, so three, it's going to be Braves, Dodgers, and then I'm going to go Baltimore, and I'll say Texas. So I'll give you four. So that way we got two American, two National. I have faith that...
I said Texas should be in the top five.
They should be in the top five. The World Series, you should be recognized to be a team that's up there. Now, granted, they didn't put the Astros, so I was happy about that. If I saw that, then I would have been really upset.
Oh, no, yeah.
You can't count them out.
Which, you know...
I know, but at the same time...
Off our previous episodes, some of the Houston fans were chiming in on some of our videos, and they were not liking what we were saying, but, you know...
Hey, that's, haters are everywhere.
That is on them.
You just let them hate.
That is on them. I actually... So, you know, I'm a Dodger fan and I'm a Ranger fan, so I actually picked the Rangers. And the only reason why I say the Rangers is because a lot of what made them good was... like the team, right, itself. Mm-hmm. Like what I think what really drove them to win was they were so cohesive as a team, right? Mm-hmm. They just got hot at the right time. And you know as well as I, because you even covered the team, they were ahead of schedule. Like no one really expected them to do anything, and then they made the run, right? Mm-hmm. So I picked them only because – and you even didn't think – like I think you had an idea that Wyatt Langford was going to be good. But, like, I don't think really any of us had an idea he was going to be this good.
It's still spring training, though.
I know, but...
it's just like them going to rookie ball.
Yeah.
You know, the summer camps.
All right. Fair enough.
You can ball out and everything, but it's different once you have your scouting reports all the time on this, and you're actually pitching to them, to the scouting reports. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. Granted, I hope he does. I hope he continues doing what he's doing.
But this also means that if you add Ezekiel Duran and then you have, you know, Tavares still... I mean, you obviously have Carter. You have a lot of depth in the outfield.
Speed.
Yes, and speed and youth in the outfield. And then, of course, you add Semien and Seager and Josh Young should have won the Rookie of the Year if he wouldn't have broke his thumb.
I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, we're pretty stacked. Now, pitching, I get where you're coming from. You know, we should have got Montgomery.
They did pick up Michael Lorenzen.
Last night.
So that'll help. I just think go get Montgomery, try to do a deal like the Giants did with Blake Snell.
You know what I think is funny is they promoted rotation. Was it Cole Robinson or
no? It's Cody Bradford.
Cody Bradford, and then he got like absolutely rocked in the pre-spring training game. You know, so everyone's like, "Oh, okay." And then
it's spring training.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't get caught. I don't really like to watch too many spring training games because people hype up things that shouldn't be hyped or get upset on something that shouldn't be upset about. Like Cody's, this is the time you either try new pitches, you're working on different things to get yourself ready for the first game. I'd rather you get your tits lit and everything else in the first and then finally come back. We're good to go at the first game of the season.
Let's go.
Come on.
And of course, you know, I picked Dodgers. I think Dodgers will be good. And then I actually agree with you on the Braves thing. And I think you even said Braves too, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I don't think you can count out the Braves. I mean,
that five teams right there are good.
Yeah. Every single one of them. I don't really know about the Phillies, right? Because, like,
they're loaded.
Chokeable, you know?
That offense is almost as comparable as the Dodgers.
Okay.
I will take that to the bank.
I'm about to say they got some hitters.
Yes.
Hitters too. I'm into baseball, so yeah.
Oh, let's we'll see. So we got our teams. Go ahead and give us something else. All right. So we seldomly talk about hockey, but we're going to do really lightly talk about hockey technically. But, you know, Mike Modano posted this the other night. He said, "What an amazing night to have my family there with me and to share that with the fans of Dallas. I will forever be remembered." So Mike Modano recently got his statue in front of the AAC. And I'm going to start, and I got a question for y'all, but I want to say one thing. So for years, I mean, I at least personally had been saying that he actually technically deserved that statue before Dirk did. Because if you have been living in Dallas, like, I mean, I've lived in Dallas most of my life, you know, that championship they won in 98-99 actually helped build the AAC. And if you even look at the AAC, all the chairs are green and everything. Like, originally, it was because of how good they were. They made back-to-back cups. He already himself is known as the greatest American hockey player ever. So with all respect, I think what happened for him is, you know, and you might know this a little bit too, but the whole Tom Hicks debacle and everything, it hindered his ability. And then he ended up going to Detroit. You know what I mean? It's like all these things kind of happened at all the wrong time. And then I think he just got overlooked and they didn't give him a statue. He had to wait until someone was like, oh yeah, we need to give one to Mike Modano. He's one of the greatest players ever. And he's the reason why the AAC is here. I mean, it definitely could be said that the AAC is the house that Modano built. I've heard many people say that, right? And so that all being said, which one of your former teammates deserves to get a statue next?
I'm ready, so I'll take it. Adrian Beltre.
Dude, hold on. We called that. Me and the stats guy, we called that. We were like, I bet she's going to say Adrian Beltre. Because but it's true. It's,
totally called it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. You got to look at where he is. I mean, he just got put in the Hall of Fame. He deserves every bit of it. He has been, to me, you know, unbelievable teammate, but a Texas legend, too, for us. He helped us do a lot of things to solidify the left side of that infield. I mean, his iconic – the statue that I would put would be the iconic one-knee swing.
Oh, you have to.
I think the drop-down swing is unbelievable. It's funny. I got MLB The Show that I play now on when I stream, and Beltre's on my team, and he does do it in the game. And it's unbelievable. It's so real. It's so crazy. But just the things that he's done, you know, on and off the field as well. Like, yeah, he's the guy for sure. I was going to say it's either going to be him or I would have gone with, because of it being Texas, Michael Young, because of the also he's the all-time – stat guy for the yep. Rangers too, so he
that's
deserves
right.
it.
I mean, he's kind of besides Tom Greve, Mr. Ranger, right? You
yeah,
know what I mean.
So. I didn't think. I mean, yeah, if we want to put that in there too, but yeah, I think it. Those are my two.
Those are your two. Do you have two or one or who do you? I mean, you played with a lot. I mean, Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, Dirk got his.
He got his. I mean, you played with a lot of guys here that are Hall of Fame guys. So.
I think when the time comes when once they become eligible for the Hall of Fame and all of that, that time will come. I think one, maybe Carmelo.
But what city?
I don't think Denver would do it. They should because they haven't even retired his jersey yet, and I think they should. I think it's very disrespectful. Yeah. But Jokic is wearing his number, so I think that should have been already taken away.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, 15. That's the number he wore. I think that should have been taken away. You know, granted, Jokic is a great player. I'm
sure.
I'm a fan. I love to watch him play. But Carmelo Anthony, the things that he did in Denver starting his rookie year was nothing more than amazing. And then what he did for New York.
New York, yeah.
I think New York
home
probably.
State.
I think New York would do it.
Right,
just
home
because
state.
Of the love that he gets there and the love that they have for him. I think New York would probably do it. But who's to say they still didn't win a championship there, didn't do that there. So. You know, and you got guys like Patrick Ewing and different guys like that that, you know, might have something to say about a statue, and then they'll have one out there. But who knows? But another guy that I know for sure they're going to do it is Russell Westbrook and OKC.
Oh, yeah.
Would they do all of them? Would they do the big three that were there? No?
No, they're not doing Kevin. After he left out like that,
yeah,
I don't think they'll do that. And then James, nah. Russell is a guy who stayed there, who stuck
yeah.
there.
Yeah, he
stuck
did.
There as long as he could, signed an extension, and played there for years without like other all-stars. Then, you know, bring in PG later on, Melo came, you know, stuff like that. But Russ, they love him there. So I see a statue coming up there, him for sure. That's the only ones I can really think of offhand that I play with that would get something like that. I mean, let's be honest. Like, it's been a lot of great players. But to get a statue, you got to be at another level.
A whole nother level.
Yeah.
It's like what I just said about Mike, right?
Right.
And I don't know if you knew this, but, I mean, he's known as the greatest American hockey player.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, naturally he's going to get something, right?
You know what I'm saying?
So,
you start putting yourself up there with guys like Kobe. LeBron's going to get a statue in Cleveland easily.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He might get multiple statues.
He possibly could. I don't think he'll get it in L.A., you know what I'm
saying? Does anyone have multiple statues?
No.
No, right?
I honestly don't think he would.
I don't think he would. Get it I think it'd be in Cleveland, and everywhere else might retire his jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Miami might do it.
Sure.
You know, retire his jersey there. Even maybe the Lakers, they might even retire his jersey. But a statue, Cleveland. And for 100%. Him, and for him, I think he would want it there. He would want it there, hands down. Home. That'd be the only place. Yeah.
I actually have a question.
I forgot one person too.
Does Greg Maddux have one?
A statue?
Yes.
No. I don't think so.
Wow.
Maybe okay. The Braves?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
That's like one of the best pitchers me growing up that I've known.
Like ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking of Miggy too. Miguel Cabrera, that's another one that's going to get a statue.
Oh,
yeah.
Detroit.
100%.
Yeah.
Is he the last to get the Triple Crown?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Maddux does not have a statue. Ugh.
Wow, that's a travesty.
For everything that they've done, yeah, that's odd.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. Go ahead and get us with another one. Oh, we're going to go to the next segment, technically. So it's Worldwide World of Sports on TikTok.
Oh, God.
Let's go.
It's about to be interesting.
Yes, this is going to be interesting.
Oh, you start flying instead of...
Wait, is that real? That ain't real.
No, that's real.
That's apparently real. So I have a question for y'all. Hold on.
Saw the springs break.
It did. That's what happened. The springs broke. And it, like, the way he hit the edge of the spring, apparently, it shot him over everything. Here, show it again. Watch.
Whoa.
It was so fake.
Yeah, but you can tell he was like, scared, they're like, oh, what's going on?
Let's go, bro.
So what was his score?
I give it a 10.
Yo. Oh, he went into the scorer's table. He like went straight into them.
He went into them. So
that's
like,
the first. They got to give him some points.
Have y'all ever had any catastrophic equipment failure like that?
No.
A glove break.
I mean,
but nothing that crazy.
Yeah, no, right?
No. I've never seen somebody like maybe pull the rim too hard and the rim bend or something like that.
Have you ever been a part of a game where the backboard got broke?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Not in person. Never seen it in person. I've seen the rim like turn like this because somebody dunked it and he hung on it and the rim kind of bent. And I had to come in and replace the whole rim. I've seen that before. But like backboard shatter, I've never seen that.
Man, yeah, that's the cool
thing. I've just only seen that. They had to replace the whole basket. Like, I don't know what happened. It was in a Mavs game. And they took it off. You might have been there, but they took it off the court, put the new one back on the court, and then they played.
Yeah, I've seen that before. No.
Like, the whole setup. I don't know if it was a shot clock or what it was. Something happened, and they replaced it.
That's crazy.
For you, it would be like a bat exploding, essentially, right? You know?
Yeah, but that happens quite. I've been hit by a bat. Jim Tomey hit me with a bat. Like, I threw the pitch inside, hit him, and the bat came flying, hit me right in my knee, and I was just begging Wash to come out and get me, but I was already done, so he was coming out to get me, so I was like, oh my God, thank God. Like, I didn't think I was going to get to – dude, it was – I could barely stand. It hurt.
Oh, Jim Tomey, man. Holy shit.
But there's – I mean, guys have been – like, it's stabbed them. You've seen that. I think that's – we'd have to find something, but – or we actually can't do that. But
yeah.
It's out there, the wooden bat. You got to be careful with it.
That's crazy.
Go ahead and give us another one. Got paired up with this guy at Avery Ranch.
Never about not mistake. Yep, yeah.
Your story died every part.
Oh.
Oh, I think it cut off the beginning of it, didn't it? Cause he basically did it for like a minute. Like, watch.
You're a good.
What is he doing?
Hit the damn ball!
For real. Okay, so somebody said, that's human rain delay.
Human rain delay.
Yeah, where he goes with after he does.
Man, not me. We ain't playing. I'm going to tell him.
Has this happened to you, Derek?
Yes. Yes, it has. It's happened to me. It's been in front of me. Like, you watch some of the people play. It's frustrating, man. Just, we're not pros. Get your one practice swing, make yourself confident, whatever, and go. Like,
That's just overthinking it.
Guaranteed. God, yeah. He did that again on the following shot.
100%.
There's no way he didn't do that again on the following shot.
That's his routine.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's why you don't play golf?
I mean, no. I'm not that bad. I ain't good. But
you don't want to be. We don't want to play with guys this bad.
Not as bad as Charles Barkley, right?
Oh, the hitch.
The hitch.
Like, he
used to hit, though.
Yeah, if he could still hit it. He might take a second, but he's going to hit it.
Yeah.
That dude, that's too long.
And you've gotten paired with guys before. Mm-hmm.
I get mad. I really do. I'll eventually say something. I'll let it go for a minute, and I'll be like, hey, man, we got to kind of speed it up a little. Like, I'll keep it nice. Sure, I'm not going to be like, hey, what the hell are you doing? I'll be just, what the hell? We got to get rolling, bro. We got to move. We got people behind us.
Go ahead and give us another one.
Ben Whitaker.
I've seen this, yeah.
Oh, this is amazing.
He took the red pill.
Let's go. I think he got penalized too for showboat or something. He's just clowning. I mean, that's skill on a whole other level.
Stop the fuck. What are you waiting for?
Done.
Hey, that's the modern day Muhammad Ali.
Gotta be.
No matter what. That guy, the moves, everything, I love that.
Ben Whitaker.
I love watching that.
Have you ever played with a guy that did things you just couldn't believe was possible?
Josh Hamilton. But he didn't do stuff like that, but I mean, it's just like.
That was like Matrix,
special.
Yeah. That was Matrix, bro. He was literally like.
Yeah, that was. I don't think there's anybody that's going to do that.
Yeah, not on that type of level. I've seen guys do some amazing stuff, score a lot of baskets, score over 3-4 people, you know. But that right there, like you said, that's Muhammad Ali type of like skill level, but still can box. You can tell this guy still can really box. Obviously, he beat the crap out of the
team. Yeah,
bro, he was taking good shots. Like he was doing all those moves, but he was taking good shots.
Like, that one where he's like, "What, bat?"
He did the dance move. Well, first he.
Don't mean to get off topic right now, but since we're talking about boxing, if y'all been following this, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Yep.
Oh, Tyson's going to kill him.
He is going to kill him. I'm a Tyson fan. Like, I love Tyson.
Listen, it's in Dallas. It's supposed to be in Dallas. I'm going. I have to. I'm trying. I've been waiting for the tickets to go on sale.
Yeah.
Like, I need them.
Well, count me in, man, because I want to go too.
Man, listen, he is going to beat the brakes off this guy. And he thinks that he can, like, he's like, y'all serious right now? Y'all really think Mike Tyson is going to beat me? Mike Tyson is going to kill you.
Bro, there's a video
Jake Paul's going to get CTE from this, if you don't already have it.
Man, this man here, like, I don't think, but what
that
people
was so
understand
funny,
is,
I could hear him laughing in the back. That's how good that was.
Hey, man, Mike Tyson he only knows one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I play with a lot of people. Russell Westbrook only knows one way. I'm going to play hard. Mike Tyson only box one way. This ain't no friendly fight. This ain't no friend. Like, when he was fighting Roy Jones Jr., did you hear Roy Jones Jr.? Roy Jones Jr. said every hit hurt. He said every punch Mike Tyson punched me, he said it hurt. Whether it was body, whether he hit my gloves, he said it hurt. So just imagine.
Dude, there's that picture of him and the Las Vegas Police Department. And they all look terrified of him just... You can't tell me he's not going to just murder.
He's going to murder Jake Paul. Absolutely murder him.
Goodness, man.
You know, I think Jake Paul is getting in over his head at this point. So
you know, he says he's a boxer. You say he wants to be a boxer.
This is your test. There you go. You're right. This is your test.
Yeah.
Your final test. Because I don't think the one against Tyson Fury's brother, what was it? Because he fought him, didn't he?
Well, I thought he fought Mayweather in an exhibition match.
Yeah, that was just an exhibition.
It was just for fun.
No, that was his brother Logan that did that.
Was it Logan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was Logan.
Because, but listen, so far he's not really fought anybody.
He said he wants to be considered. Is it him or Logan that wants to be considered a real boxer?
It's him.
He wants to be respected.
It's Jake.
Here you go.
Wait, can I play this audio of Tyson? I'm not kidding. Like, I know it could be. It's not bad, but am I able to play audio from my phone?
Oh, man.
Mr. Producer?
Yeah, you can just hold it up to the microphone.
No, this ain't it. Okay, you got to give me 2 seconds. I promise you, this is one of the most motivational things I've ever heard. And he is emotional. It's raw.
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was boxing the other day. He was doing something. He looked in the camera. He said, "You still want to fuck with this?"
Yes. It's along those lines.
No.
No.
I answered no.
Yeah, no. I answered no. It's like through the TV, I said no.
Man,
I hope I can get this because this is by far.
So here's boxing matches that have involved Jake Paul. You had Deji versus Jake Paul, KSI versus Jake Paul, Ben Askren, Nate Diaz, Tommy Fury.
Tommy Fury, that was it.
Anison Gibb.
And he lost to Tommy Fury, didn't he?
I think so. Nate Robinson, Mike Tyson, Anderson Silva, Tyron Woodley II.
Did he beat Anderson Silva?
Yes. He beat every MMA fighter, but he did not beat the only boxer he fought against, which was the Fury kid. I think there was a draw or he lost. So the only boxer he's actually fought against, he lost.
On here, this was February 26, 2023. He fought Tommy Fury, 8-round cruiserweight fight. The two judges scored the bout 76-73 for Fury, while a third favored Paul 75-74. So it was
a draw, right? Or Fury won.
Fury won by split decision.
Mm. See, so and he wants to go against Mike Tyson.
Let him go.
Some people want to die early, dude.
Like I said, he's ready to get some CTE in him. So, do we got it?
Go ahead.
We'll maybe pop it at the end. We'll end this thing with a motivational speech. Okay, go ahead and give us another one.
Oh, bigness matter.
Yep. Bubbles.
There's ball two.
Oh, how was that in a block?
Robert Kimball joining in here. The umpires are also making their adjustments.
Compared to Brian Harvey of Florida Marlins.
Nomo.
I used to love Nomo.
It dips. And here's this winner right here. On the other side with it.
Chris, you trusted LJ.
This one, I can't even like.
Got him.
Look how.
The home run.
Royal with this. The kick.
Got it on the inside.
Pitch number 89.
Cueto was just literally like clowning folks.
Triple shimmy. Got them.
They got this look. Watch.
98 mile an hour fastball.
And then strikes him out.
It's all about messing up timing.
And you're out.
That's funny.
Derek and Ray, both y'all. Who did you play with that had the most unconventional mechanics?
I played with quite a few of those people we saw.
Are you serious?
I played with Kimbrel. He was actually one of my college teammates. I'm trying to think of who else had like the weird stuff. Darren O'Day.
O'Day, I remember.
He dropped down. He was like on the ground.
That was with the Rangers, right?
Mm-hmm. Those sidearm guys, I'm just trying to think. There's Chris Sale. He's got some crazy looking mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a few people out there that just, you don't know how, like Mike Adams is another one. I always thought his shoulder was going to fly off the way he threw. He was nasty though.
I got one, I think for you, but I don't know if you played for him or not. Maybe you did, but Sean Marion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The way he shot.
I never played with him. I played against him, but never played with him.
Like it was like his free throw or something like that, right?
His shot in general. It looked like he was playing basketball.
Basketball.
And the way that they throw it out there. Raindrops. Buckets.
Buckets.
He used to hit it, though. That was crazy.
No, yeah, he could.
He used to hit it. I think Ronnie Brewer, probably the only one I can think
of. Ronnie, I haven't heard that name.
Ronnie Brewer. Wow. He used to have a different looking shot the way he used to release it. But he used to hit it, though. That's what's crazy, especially in the corner. Corner three, he played with him with the Knicks my first year back, when I went back the second time. And he's knocked that shot down. He was a good, great defender, and he used to hit that corner three. He was a flicked shot, but he used to go in. But outside of that, no, I don't think I really play. I've seen some. Like the kid that plays for, he changed his shot now. I can't even pronounce how you say his last name. Skohan, the kid that played at Baylor.
Okay.
Got the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Sometimes different color hair and stuff. He shoots with one hand for the free throw line. Takes the ball and lines it up and shoots with one hand.
Yes. Yeah, I just saw that recently, actually.
San Antonio. Played with the Spurs.
What are you?
Yeah, takes the ball like this.
It's weird, man.
And shoots it with one hand. Yeah, I used to have a shooting coach that used to teach that, like, not shoot like that, but, like, he used to warm up, and that was part of your routine to help with your free throw. But he actually took that as his free throw. I guess he was like, I make it more just with the practice free throw.
Yeah, I guess what do you do as a coach? You're a coach, right? So what do you do as a coach when you see something like that?
If he's making it, I'm not saying anything. Yeah,
let him go.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, if he's making it, let it go.
Go ahead and give us another one.
I did get the video too, so.
All right, we got
it. Save that to the end.
We'll save it.
Oh, what the hell?
Okay.
That's not a baseball.
What the hell did he do? Okay, yes, that's what I was going to ask. How is that possible, Derek?
It's not a baseball. It's like a foosball or something.
This was on MLB. MLB posted this.
Okay, so never mind. It's a baseball. So, man, he's got long fingers is what I can see. So he's getting enough behind it to create more of spin to create that two-seam action. It's still moving a good amount, but it's not as much as we truly – I mean, it's a lot. Don't get me wrong, it's at least the length of this table.
Oh, okay.
But it's if you watch the guy, he's even moving over to it too.
Okay.
So you're not getting as much, but it's a lot. That's a baseball though. It's just the only thing I could think of is those seams might be really high. The higher the seams, that's a major league ball right there, but like you give me a high school ball, I guarantee my two seamer runs a lot. So that would be that's the one thing that stands out.
I was like, how is that even possible? I just don't even.
But I mean, there's a video that I'm sure we'll be able to get at some point.
That's nice.
Where it's the nastiest pitches in baseball.
Yeah.
Dude's sliders are moving like this far. One guy plays for the Rays. I forget his name. I think it's, I don't know, Castillo, I think. But 102 mile an hour two-seamer. Jordan Hicks throwing 105 sinker. Like these things
Wait,
are nasty.
What?
Yeah, it's we can easily. I mean, we'd have to find it for the next.
We'll
episode.
Get it for the next one, but that's but unreal.
Nastiest pitches, I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up. We're gonna get that.
It'll move
time.
A lot.
Ooh,
give us another one.
That's a good next for the next one.
Yes. Okay. Look at this little guy. Look at this little guy.
Okay.
Look at him. Look
get
at
off
him.
Me.
He said, "Watch."
Get off me.
Watch.
Bucket.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
I know they don't have traveling. Yeah, they jump.
Not at all.
Get off me.
Bro, he had 4-on-1 instead of prayer.
No one forget it. Here we go.
That arm, though. All right, Ray, would you recruit this kid?
Man, he's on my team right now. I need him. What's his name? I know you got an Instagram.
We got to find him. We'll hook you guys up.
That's it. I like that.
All right, we definitely want to get to this one, and we'll cut this on as the last one. So go for it.
I'm not saying players in the league. I'm saying players in the history of the game. Can make that pass.
Let's
go.
Real.
Nice. And he makes it from the
Luka full court alley-oop dime.
That's impressive.
Is Luka the MVP?
Yeah. Joker even said it.
He did. Actually, a lot of people are now starting to say it.
Yeah.
If you're talking about individual, yeah. If you're talking about wins and taking your team from the bottom to the top, I gotta go with SGA.
Yeah,
man. I don't even put Joker in there. You know they got Joker leading right now.
Yep.
I don't even put him there because his team was supposed to do that, but nobody thought that Oklahoma City was gonna be a number one, number two seed. Nobody thought that, and he's a big part of that.
I mean, I like what you're saying, but I also look at it too. Is so what if you're supposed to do it? You still got to go out there and perform. So if, like for the Joker comment.
Yeah.
So you would, I mean, I'm with you. So I want you to know that the Oklahoma State guy definitely is doing some serious work.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Luka gets the Mavs going. They get a little bit better positioning.
Mm-hmm.
It, would that change your vote or you still would stay with?
I want to see them win. I want them to be in that top four. I want him to lead his team to that level. Now, individual, I don't think there's nobody better. The stuff that he can do for his size at 6'8", playing a point, a walking triple double, can get 30 easily. He's low. He's leading the league right now in scoring, right?
Yeah.
So you know, you're talking about a guy that I think is by far one of the most talented that we have playing in this game right now. But me as a basketball player and just a person who, like, really understand the game and really understands like what they're looking for an MVP, you have to will your team to wins. You know what I'm saying? And right now, for y'all to be in the play-in, that ain't going to get you MVP.
What if he gets in? What if the team gets into the top five?
That's better.
Because they have a realistic shot of getting there pretty
quickly. If you outside of that play-in, if your team is inside of that, then I think, okay, yeah. Now we can start saying, okay, Luka, as an individual, Luka by far is MVP right now. Because he's a scoring champ. He's going to be scoring champ and, you know, and just what he does.
But Shai is just.
I just give Shai the upper hand because he's
took
his
knock?
Team.
What's his knock against Shai? What's the one thing that could prevent him from getting.
Prevent Shai?
Yes.
If he fall off. Just his game. You know,
his team is going to be there. A lot of people say that he likes to go to the weaker player against. He doesn't go up against the best players. You know, he always kind of shifts to the weaker players. That's why he's getting the buckets and the stuff that he's getting.
No, that's not true. That's not
you
true.
You don't buy into that.
Who doesn't do that?
Just I mean, I'm with that.
I'm just saying,
that.
Luka would do that.
Yeah.
If I'm playing against Golden State, and I got Andrew Wiggins on me, and I can pick Steph Curry on me, I'm going to go pick Steph Curry. I'm just saying, everybody does that. If you think about it,
everybody's
going to pick the less defender because you want your score not to have to work as much. You know
but the knock is saying that he only gets his buckets and his steals and everything against them, and the
so he's averaging 30 against that's what that just gets those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
that is averaging 30 points.
You know, game. And it could be just a lot of Dallas, you know, fans that are just so
listen,
mad.
Listen,
that, you know,
listen.
That's what's being said.
I don't want nobody to sit here and think that I'm not for Luka.
Sure,
I love Luka, but for me and for what I know the voters are looking for. You're going to have to win, you know what I'm saying? And being in a play-in game is not gonna get that MVP.
Yeah.
You know,
I can agree with that.
I mean, if you think about the guys who got MVP, they was in the top three or four, you know, of the last, what, Embiid?
That
was
true.
Top three when he got it. Giannis, they was one or two. Those two times he got it. Joker, they was top three when he got it. Those two times. Well, the one time they wasn't. They was six. But they still was in that. You know, they was away from the play-in, put like that. So he has to get out of the play-in part, you know. And that's
why I said if he can get in the top five.
Luka is a great player.
Then I think
Luka's a great
We got to give him a shot.
He's going to get it for sure at some point before his career is over. And I think he's going to get it more than once.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. Do you think he's going to be like Dirk where he got one championship, one MVP? Or you think he'll get multiple and maybe one championship? Or do you think they'll get multiple championships?
I think at some point you got to give it to him because he's playing so well as an individual. And he's by far being the most valuable player one or two of these last years that he's been getting snubbed because of the wins and losses.
Yeah.
So at some point you got to just give it to him because he's that good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Regardless of the wins and the losses. But I know that's what they tally into that for sure.
Actually, let's go ahead and run that last video because we'll just briefly watch something and then we'll go to the next and final segment.
To heck, yuck the world.
Is that the drop?
It is the mailman. And it literally went from bad to very bad to way worse.
Go ahead, because I'm trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. The dude.
Watch again. You got to see the car at the very top. He's losing control. He hits the curb, hits the mailbox, And somehow he falls out of it.
He panics entirely because he dropped mail, tried to grab it, fell out of the car, and lost control of the vehicle.
Bro, he blew his knee. Can we do that one more time? Watch this knee. This thing is full extension, stiff as a board. Like, he might have messed up his hip. Get ready. It's coming right here. It's going to be like a couple steps, and then...
Oh, you're right.
He just bounces up, too. Like, ooh.
Oh.
That's a hip.
Like, hip or hyperextending his knee.
Yeah, something. That... Mm.
Did he get fired?
I mean, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably crashed that into the... Sure.
Yeah. All right, so final segment. You know, we always like to try to cover some things, and that's kind of why I almost wanted to cut you before you say, because one of the things that I want to ask is related to the Mavs and potentially everything going on. So one of the questions that we have been proposed, so we actually I've been trying to take questions from some of the people that watch our show to ask you guys, right? And we've been doing these lives, and sometimes we even get questions we can't even say because they just start coming and stuff like that. And then we add y'all's buddies that
Throw that out there real quick.
You know,
doing the lives. Let them know we're doing this. We're trying to do it, what, every Friday, Thursday?
Yeah, yeah. For now, at least once a week, you know, on Thursdays or Fridays at probably, you know, 7 or 8, you know, just sometime
Thursdays.
At night.
Thursdays would be better.
Thursday's the best day, you know.
And traveling with AAU.
And it seems that nighttime is the best because that's when everyone's home and everybody can actually participate in it. One of the questions that was asked, and one of our writers actually wanted to know this as well, which is, with the current health trends in sports, what are the best nutritional habits to sustain top performance? And Ray, one question for you. Do you feel not drinking alcohol positively affected your longevity?
Yes. Not drinking it, yes.
You think that's the reason, one of the main reasons we were able to go?
I think it's one of the main reasons I stayed healthy. One of the main reasons I was durable. You know, I can, no matter from my rookie year to my 14th season, I can go play 48 minutes. Like, I could have gave you that. So I think it's just being durable. And some dudes can drink and go play and play at a high level. Some dudes drinking.
Yeah, you told me some stuff sometimes.
I was shocked to find out
that some of these guys are playing.
Nah. But, I'm serious. You know. I've really seen
it. Oh, you got smiles over here.
I've seen it too.
So, you know, it's
well, just... Doc Ellison famously pitched
He was on like
acid or something.
Yeah. Like, pitched a complete or a no hitter.
Yeah, no hitter or
so. I really think that's the biggest thing, man. Just like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, I've seen it work for me, and I've seen it work the other way for a teammate or two. You know, I've seen it work for them.
You see, yeah. So it kind of, and they're just built to something different. Well, okay. So give me something nutritional habits to sustain top performance. That's actually a common question that's asked by everybody, especially some of the athletes that watch our stuff.
I think the biggest thing is how you eat. You know,
of course.
I wish it was something that, you know, I would have done better at, because I played 14 years, but maybe I could have played 20. Maybe I could have played more.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because as I got older, you know, my body changed. My body type changed, you know. So I think on the nutrition side, you have to take the right supplements. There's just different things that you got to have in your body. And, you know, if you plan at that level, you got trainers who make sure you have those things first thing in the morning. They got your own place where you got to go get your supplements and drink and take it and drink your own shakes and all that. But food-wise, for me, mine was before game was salmon and mashed potatoes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Salmon.
So you had a regimen.
Yep. Salmon and mashed potatoes. Every now and then, I would change it sometimes and eat pasta. Pasta was good to eat before games. But outside of that, that was my salmon and mashed potatoes. It gave me energy. It fulfilled me, and I was good the whole game. Mm-hmm.
Derek,
I was right along. I'm right there with him. I was early in my career. The metabolism's different.
Yeah,
Like he was saying, because I was eating Taco Bell, Wendy's before games. Like that's really how it was. Like, because I knew that ain't gonna affect me. Like, I'm gonna burn through this like it's nothing. And then as I got older and later into my career, it was literally chicken and pasta. That's it.
Wow.
Right before I pitched.
So that you would pretty much recommend for most of these athletes to just, it seems like it's a simplified, right? Like, it's a very simple, like, protein and some sort of like starch, essentially, right?
Carbs, you got to have that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So last question, and this is why I kind of almost cut you before, because this is this is a question I want to ask. With Kyrie's game winner the other night, all of sports media said, "Watch out for the Mavs." Two questions. Yeah. And you actually season ticket, right? Or you go to the games. You actually saw the game.
Yeah, I was there.
You saw the game. I said two questions. One, what's the best walk-off win you have ever witnessed? Okay. Number two, are the Mavs the dark horse? And if not, who is?
I do want to say this, though. What Kyrie's doing, though, he's doing this during Ramadan.
Yes.
So people don't know that.
No food.
He's no food, no water.
Nothing.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. That's one thing that a lot of people don't know.
For a whole month, right?
Yep. That's from a sunrise
to
sunset.
What is he doing? What is he doing? Oh, so that a certain time?
Nothing. Once the sun rises, no food, no water. Once it sets, eat all you want.
Okay, makes sense.
Now,
so he's getting something at least.
The good thing is.
Yeah, but you got to think about it.
Like, he's not getting it to the sunset.
He's not getting it to the sunset, so he's getting that after he just did all that on the court.
He might be getting water, I would say maybe like. I'm trying to think because it's the game 7:30, so he's probably getting water closer to after halftime. That's when he can finally drink water.
That's just unreal. How's he not dying on the court?
Hey, he said,
like bro, he's different.
Yeah, he's different. And he, like he said, there's always there's something spiritual. There's a spiritual God, you know.
Best walk-off win you've ever witnessed.
I hate to say it because I was on the other side.
Other side of it, okay.
But Dame Lillard, when I was in OKC, when he hit us with the bye-bye.
You were in that game.
I was on that team, yep.
That's like a very like infamous yep. like game because there that's was some shit said. Going on that's between why, both teams.
Yeah, we were about to fight almost every game. Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of trash talking, a lot of, yeah.
I remember that game.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That was cold.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give the man props. You know, shout out to Dame Lillard, man.
And then he was like,
"One of the toughest shots." Yeah, it was one of the toughest shots that I've seen live and in person. It was in the game.
I mean,
it hurt.
That game literally is kind of like you're right. It's one of the
best.
It's one of the best walk off given the circumstances, yeah. Like the everything around that game.
Playoff game. That game that won in the series. We win that game. If he doesn't hit that shot, we go into overtime. We're going to win that game. We go back to OKC. We're going to win that series.
Yep. That game went in the archives for sure.
Oh, man.
Especially that shot.
If you put in best walk-off shot, I guarantee you that's going to
go. Oh, yeah.
100%.
I don't know other shot that's better other than MJ's.
I don't have something right off the top of my head that I could truly think of, like big moment game-wise. But I do have, again, I was on the other side of it. I was actually throwing. And I gave up the walk-off grand slam to Bryce Harper. I made an unbelievable pitch. It was a Gatorade commercial. The best part is we're both Under Armour guys. It's an Under Armour commercial. I didn't get any money for that. But he hit it. I mean, I'm sure we could find that clip too. That pitch is two balls off in. Like, that's a tough pitch to hit. He even said it too. He gave me a lot of credit, so I like to do the same thing. Like, shout out to Bryce for doing that. But the fact that he hit it and he kept it fair, as soon as he hit it, the whole place went, I mean, it was loud.
Yeah.
The whole place went nuts. I just turned to look, and I was like, there is no way that's staying fair. Because 9 times out of 10, that thing is hooking.
It cuts.
Even more.
Yeah.
It hugged the foul pole. And it went up triple deck. I mean, it's a bomb. But, I mean, it was, as much as I hated that, because obviously nobody wants to lose, it was still a cool thing that, like, I look back at, and it's like, man, I did everything I could. Like, I just got beat. Like, sometimes you just got to go. Hey, good job, buddy.
Tip
you did your
of
part.
The cap. And what about, I mean, wasn't there a Nelson Cruz walk-off in the ALCS game?
Yeah, against the Tigers.
Yeah.
So that's another one, too.
But that wasn't as big as technically that moment, because like the Dame moment, that one was like posterized
yeah,
everywhere.
I mean, that's just an iconic moment. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more. It's just... The other one, I just pictured because I was there. Like, I actually did something, and I got beat. That's how I look at
well,
it.
Well, I mean, so did he, apparently. You know, yeah, he's I mean, like, I felt the other do. End of it, technically, you know?
You always hear everybody's good side of it. It's kind of, to me, I kind of like hearing the other side of it, too. Like, mm-hmm. You said you were on the losing side. I was on the losing side. Like, we never hear from those people.
Yep.
You just hear from the guy that did it.
Right.
So.
Okay, so... So are the Mavs the dark horse? And if not, who is? That's the last question.
I think yes, they are. The way that,
because like Barkley came out. Who else? Magic Johnson.
Perkins.
Yeah, all these Perkins. People came out and were like, okay, now you have to watch out for the Mavs.
Well, with the trade they made was big for them.
Oh, Gafford and Washington.
PJ Washington. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Great pickers.
Yeah. So when you add those two guys, you know, you basically said, okay, we were trying to win, and we were trying to win this year. So you make those picks, and then with the way Kyrie is playing, Luka has been doing this all year. The level that Kyrie is playing is the Kyrie that I know.
Yeah.
Kyrie I remember, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, Kyrie really, you know, he has some stuff that he was dealing with off the court, you know, little things that went on in, you know, Brooklyn and places he was at. But what people don't understand is Kyrie never fell off.
No.
He never fell off.
I feel like he's at peace.
Yeah, like he's somewhere now where he's happy.
He loves it being here too.
Yes.
Right?
He loves it here. He loves the fans. He loves the team that he's with. And you can see it. I mean, you're talking about every night I look at his box score and Luka had 30, Kyrie got 32. You know what I'm saying? Luka had 35, Kyrie had 29.
Yeah.
Now you look at their field goal percentage, they're shooting over 50%. Like, it's crazy. They both sharing the ball. Kyrie got 8 assists, Luka got 12. Like, when you got two guys on the court that's, you know, bona fide scorers, but they also facilitators, can make other guys better, then you got yourself a chance. And if they stay healthy, yes, they definitely the black.
The dark horse, yeah.
The dark horse, I've been saying yes.
What do you think?
They definitely are.
I do. I'm just biased, so yeah.
I mean, at least you're honest.
I love the Mavericks. Yeah, like, yeah. That's my team. So yeah. I feel like they definitely are. As soon as they made that pickup, I was like, man, we got people that can crash the boards, get the rebounds. That's what we needed. We needed another big man. We got it. PJ Washington's been another great pickup to me to be able to help out with Luka. I'd like to see Lively and Gafford both out on the court at one time.
Oh, that would be
put them at the same time. You got PJ
Could
Washington.
You do that?
Hey.
Okay.
PJ, Kyrie,
power,
Luka, power Gafford.
Center.
Put which color at the four?
Lively.
Yeah.
Put Lively at the four. Put Gafford at the five.
Okay, if you had to pick another team besides the Mavs, who is that team?
It don't matter, East or West.
It doesn't matter.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I think right now, Miami.
Miami? Why Miami?
Because they're starting to pick it up. You know, Miami kind of is a team that does this every year. They start off slow. They get some injuries, and, you know, they kind of figure it out. That's what I love about Eric Spoelstra. He's probably one of the best coaches in this league, and he always figures it out with his team, and they do a great job with, you know, bringing guys in with their scouts and stuff, bringing in the right people that fits what they're trying to do.
Well, and they made the finals recently, like, exactly. Over the last few years, right?
So you're talking about a team that you have to be scared of when the playoff comes. And they're playing great basketball right now at the right time at the end of the season. So you have to be scared of them, I'm telling you. So be on the watch out for
Miami and the Mavs. All right, here we go. We're going to end it right. We're going to end it with a motivational.
I'm still in the war. I know all the warriors from Charlemagne, Achilles, the number one warrior of all warriors. From then, Alexander, Napoleon, I know them all. I read them all. I studied them all. I know the art of fight. I know the art of war. That's all I ever studied. That's why I'm so feared. That's why they feared me when I was in the ring. Because I was an annihilator. That's all I was born for. Now those days are gone. It's empty. I'm nothing. I'm working on being the art of humbleness. Can you believe me? That's the reason why I'm crying, because I'm not that person no more. And I miss them. Because sometimes I feel like a bitch. Because I don't want that person to come out, because if he comes out, hell is coming with him.
That was it. And the thing that gets me is he's like, I don't want him to come out because hell's coming with me. And that, to me, is like, man, Jake, I don't know what you're messing with right now.
Well, like you said, he's a guy that this is all I know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I study. This is my life. This is who I am. And now I don't have that no more. So now you're giving it to me again. You're giving me an opportunity to be Mike Tyson again.
Ooh. Giving a drug addict the drug he's been Ooh. Waiting for.
I'm just saying, though. So that was powerful in so many ways for me, just hearing that, because you're talking about somebody that was in that space like he was. So yeah. I can hear his emotions. I can hear his hurt, because if you only know something for so long, your whole entire life, all I breathed was I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to be somebody in basketball. I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. Then the opportunity came, and then you get that opportunity, and you're playing at the highest level, and then one day that's just, boom, it's taken away from you. You're done. You're not playing no more.
Yeah, that's something something hard to deal with sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know that day is coming, but for it to happen is another thing. You know what I'm saying? For it to happen, and you have to sit in your house and think about that. You have to sit in your house and watch people play and watch that. It's like something's been taken away from you. So you have to find something to bring that back. You have to find something to bring you back. You know, because I feel like I was in a dark place for a while after basketball. And it's tough. It's tough. So I felt that. That was good. I felt that. That was good.
Good one. Very good one. Well, this is the end of episode 4. Thank you for everybody that watched all the other episodes and has joined us on the lives. Again, we're going to try to do lives every Thursday and Friday, you know, around 7, 8 o'clock at night. We'll keep you posted on all of our socials. And again, much love to everybody. And thank you guys for being here.
Oh, man, no problem.
Yes, sir.
Peace.